إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, just a couple of things on the issue or on the about Dawood alayhi salam before we go to the next chapter on this in this series of lectures. Dawood alayhi salam was also the Nabi on whom who received one of the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we know about, which is the Zabur. And it is said that this was a book of what are called Psalms, which is Hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he recited it, Allah had given him such a beautiful voice, and his recitation, his tilawat of this was so beautiful that it was as if all nature, the mountains, valleys, all nature seemed to join into that. And birds that would be flying would come and land next to him, and they would listen to him. That was the nature of the recitation of Dawood alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, one of the mu'jizat of Dawood alayhi salam was that iron had been given to him, and iron had been made soft in his hands. So he could mold iron like we work with any soft thing, like, you know, plasticine or wax. So he used to make suits of chain mail, armor. The other thing is, in one hadith of Rasulullah in Bukhari, Rasulullah said that the most beloved fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that of Dawood alayhi salam, who used to fast one day and he would eat the next day. So every alternate day, his whole life, he would fast. And also Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the most beloved prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that of Dawood alayhi salam, because he would sleep for the first half of the night, then he would pray for the next one third of the night or something, and then he would go back to sleep for the remaining one sixth of the night. So he would, this night prayer, what we know as tahajjud, but this is one of the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhim as-salam. So this is also one of the big lessons to learn, because in terms of ruju ila Allah, in terms of ta'alluq ma'a Allah, connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of tahajjud, the power of standing in the night and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as, of course, the issue of tilawat of Qur'an. In our case, it is Qur'an. We talked about Dawood alayhi salam. Because apart from anything else, it's also a good thing to make the tilawat of the Qur'an in an audible voice. I'm not saying loud voice, you don't have to shout, but in a voice which is audible. To do that for two reasons. One is, also in the house, when you do this tilawat, the nuzul of the malaika happens, and this is a source of great barakah for the house. Second thing is also that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that everything which hears this recitation will bear witness for you on the Day of Judgment. The place of, on the ground where you pray, this piece of soil will bear witness for you on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment. That's the reason why when you pray, once you finish one set of prayer, then you move a little bit aside and you pray the sunnah or nafil. That's also so that you have more and more, you know, pieces of ground, witnesses for you. So similarly, the birds hear you, the air hears you, water hears you, trees hear you. All of these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them, today they may be inanimate, but on the Day of Judgment, they will be given a voice, and they will bear judgment, that they will bear witness that they heard the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your, through you. So the benefit of reciting Qur'an in an audible voice, which also refers obviously to learning how to recite it properly so that you do it. It's not just whether it's the Qur'an or the Zabur or which Dawood alayhi salam recited. It's not a question of tune, right? Yes, yes, indeed, it is pleasant to hear, but much more importantly, or really the most important thing, is the correctness of the recitation. So therefore, reciting Quran correctly with the correct tajweed, with the correct makharij, correct pronunciation, this is very, very important. Dawud alayhi salam was also very wise, and there are many stories about his judgments, and he and his son Sulaiman alayhi salam, and in the case of Sulaiman alayhi salam, alhamdulillah, Allah gave him even more and great witness. He also surpassed his father in his ability for judgment. In one hadith, in Bukhari again, Rasulullah said that there were two women, each of whom had a child of the same age. One child was stolen by a wolf, was taken away. Now each woman claimed that it was the other woman's child which was taken away. So they brought the case to Dawud alayhi salam, and he judged that the older woman should have the remaining child. And then they went to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So they were not happy with this judgment. Dawud alayhi salam said this woman's child should belong to that woman. But the women were not happy. The younger woman was not happy. So they went to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So Sulaiman alayhi salam said, he called for a sword and he said, cut the child in half and give each half to one of them. But then the younger woman, she could not bear to, in this, for this to happen, to see the child cut in half. And she said, no, it doesn't matter, let the older woman keep the child. So Sulaiman alayhi salam then gave the child to the younger woman, because he said, this is the one who is the actual mother, because the love of the child is with the mother. I remember my mother telling me this story when I was a little child. And this is also the benefit, I mean, the idea of these stories is, this is also one of the important things in the upbringing of children, that parents should sit and tell their children stories of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. They're so interesting stories, you know, very interesting. And make it, it's not a, you're not sitting there for some great religious ban. It's just an interesting thing which keeps children interested and connected with the deen and connected with the Quran. So here is a story from the Quran, here are stories from a hadith. So first of all, you're not telling some farzi khissa, you know, some fabricated stuff. You're telling them the truth, actual fact which happened. And secondly, it gets them connected with this. It's a form of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah. So it has many benefits. So also with these stories of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and stories of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. All of these are very good ways to use in the upbringing of children. Another story referred to in the Quran also was that a man's flock of sheep strayed into a farmer's field at night and destroyed the crops. So the case was brought before Dawud alayhi salam, and Dawud alayhi salam said, let the farmer take the sheep. So they destroyed his crop, let him take the sheep. So when the, and this was given as a restitution for damages. So, you know, they went to Sulaiman alayhi salam for his ruling. So he gave another solution, which would repay the farmer without ruining the herdsman. So he said that the farmer should keep the sheep and use their milk and wool until the herdsman had restored the field to its original condition. So he said, let the herdsman work in that field, plant a new crop, raise the new crop, and until that happens, until the crop is ready for harvesting, the farmer keeps the sheep and uses them. But obviously, when he is doing that, he is looking after them and so on. So it's not as if those sheep are, you know, he's not slaughtering them and selling them or something. He's keeping them, he's looking after them. So the sheep are also taken care of. And then he said, once the field is ready for harvesting, then let the farmer return the flock of sheep to the herdsman and take back his field. So that way, both, they are not ruined. At the same time, compensation is given to the farmer. So alhamdulillah, this is an issue of, if you look at also now in this case, maybe one of the lessons to be drawn from this also is the fact that Sulaiman alayhi salam is giving these rulings in the presence of his father, who is the king. So it also shows the wisdom of the father. He doesn't say to the son, you know, how can you give a ruling when I have already given a ruling? No, alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. And he is encouraging the son, and he doesn't feel threatened by the son's wisdom. Now this is one of the big problems today. I have seen this in many cases where, and it's a very sad thing to see it. I mean, absolutely tragic, because especially in business families, I see this, where fathers spend a lot of money giving their sons a good education. Right? They send them to the best universities and everything else. And when the son comes back, there is this, the father gets into this unconscious competition with the son and does everything to nullify the goodness of that son. You know, they won't listen to their advice, they treat them like as if he's a jahil. Then why did you send him to get educated? What is the good of that education if you are not going to use it? And if you don't listen to his advice. I remember one of my professors in the IIM Ahmedabad, Professor Pulin Garg, used to say that, he said, my brother is a electrical engineer, very highly qualified electrical engineer. But he said, my father does not trust him to change a bulb in the house. It's very sad if you look at it. And similarly, I see this in many business families, as I said, where literally the fathers drive the sons out of the business. Now, my point is, what sense does it make? Because when you die, that son is going to inherit that business anyway. So instead of, you gave your son a good education, alhamdulillah, you brought him up well, good values, good ethics, morals, everything, religious, and then when he comes back, after the education, he's working, he's showing results also. But now you get into this unconscious competition, you are sabotaging the son, the fathers go behind the back of the son and speak to his subordinates and, you know, destroy the chain of authority. They do all this nonsense. And at the end of that, you know, you have nullified that the value of the education. You destroyed a relationship with your own son. And then, of course, he will go. Allah has written his rizq for him. You are not the raziq. So he will go, he will learn his own thing. But point is that what is the use of that? So this is something, a good lesson to learn from the story of Dawud alayhi salam and Sulaiman alayhi salam. Dawud alayhi salam did not do that. He nurtured his son, he brought him up, he gave him his wisdom. Obviously Sulaiman alayhi salam would have learned from Dawud alayhi salam. And alhamdulillah, where Sulaiman alayhi salam in his judgments gave judgments which were even better than his father's, Dawud alayhi salam didn't feel offended. He didn't, he didn't cancel those judgments. He didn't stop people from going to his son while he himself was there as the king. And he was the qazi also. He used to give. Now, very important, I think, lesson. This shows real emotional maturity, this shows dignity, this shows, goodness of a father, which is seen in this. And of course, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, when we talk about Sulaiman alayhi salam and all the stories in Surah An-Naml and so on, inshallah, we will look at that. But I think, bismillah, alhamdulillah, many, many good and very important lessons to be learned from the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn and to practice them in our lives. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.